As I had told you in yesterday's podcast, that this week I'll be narrating some folk tales. And today I've got an Irish folk tale, which is called Cats Are Queer Articles. So without any delay, let me start narrating the story. Here we go. I tell you, cats are the queer articles. You never know where you are with them. They seem to be different than every other class of animals. In the old days, there were some foreign peoples who worshipped them. And it is not to be greatly wondered at when you think of the intelligence of cats. I had a strange thing happen to myself years ago with cats. It was many years ago now. I had a calf myself to sell. And it was the time of the November fair in Macroom. I had borrowed the loan of a crib and horse from a neighbor and was ready to set off for the fair about 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, it came to 1 o'clock and I got up. I opened the door and the night was so black that you would scarcely know which foot you were putting before you. I stirred up the fire and put some sticks under the kettle to make a cup of tea. And while it was boiling, I went out to tackle up the horse. There was a mist coming down, so that I was wet enough already by the time that I had that job done. I made the tea, and while I was drinking, I thought what a foolish thing it was for me to be getting out of warm bed and going to the cold, wet night and traveling for 24 miles through the night. But it had to be done. So I buttoned up a grand frieze coat I had and off we set. The horse was as unwilling as myself for the road, and the two of us were ashamed to look each other in the face, knowing the class of fools we were. We travelled for hours and hours, and not much of the first hour had gone before I was wet through and through. As we drew nearer to the town, I could see the lights in the farms by the roadside, where the people were getting up for the fair, who had not to lose a night's sleep to get there. There was a regular procession now on the road of calves and cattle being driven into the fair. But it was still dark and the daylight was only just coming. Well, I took my place in the fair and no one came to me and made me an offer for a long time. I thought that things were not going too well with me. Then a few asked me, but were offering only a poor price. I saw other cattle being driven away, and men I knew told me to sell, for it was a bad fair and prices were low. So at last I did sell, for the heart had gone out of me with the loss of sleep and the long journey and the cold and the long waiting. I tell you that I was a miserable man, standing there with not even a bite to eat and wet to the skin, and with the prospect of the long journey home again and the poor pay I had for my suffering. When I got the money, I had something to eat and made a few purchases. And then I thought that if any man ever earned a drink, it was me. So I met some friends and we had a few drinks together. And then we parted and went our different ways. I let the horse go on at her own pace, with the reins hanging loose. The rain came down again and the power of the drink soon wore off, and I wrapped myself up in my misery. With the sound and the swing of the crib and the creaking of the wheels and the darkness coming down again, I fell asleep. as many a man does on the long way home from a winter's fair. Now and again, someone passed me on the road, but I scarcely heard them at all. For miles and miles I went, now asleep, now awake, with all manner of queer notions running in my head, as does happen to a man when he is exhausted. As I was passing the graveyard, a cat put his head through the railings and said to me, "Tell Balgary that Balgary is dead." I paid little heed to that, for my head was full of strange notions. I continued on my way. At last, I reached home again and untackled the horse and watered it and fed it, and then went into the house to change out of my wet clothes. Herself started on me straight away. It is wonderful the energy that does be in a woman's tongue and the blindness that can be in her eyes, for I was in no mood for talk. "Well," she said, "what sort of a fair was it?" "Ah, the same as all fairs," said I. "Did you get a good price?" "I did not," said I. "Were there many at the fair?" she asked then. "The usual number, I suppose. Did you expect me to count them?" "Did you hear any news while you were in the town?" There was no end to her questions. "Hold your tongue," I said, "and give me the tea." I drank the tea and had a bite to eat and began to feel better. Still, she kept on asking me questions. "Glory me! Fancy going in all that way and hearing nothing at all," she said, when I had no news for her. "You might as well have stayed at home for all the good that you get out of a fair," she said. I got up from the table and sat by the fire and lit my pipe, but still she plagued me and pestered me with her questions. Had I seen this one? Was I speaking with that one? Was there any news of the other one? I suppose that the tea and the fire and the tobacco softened me. News and gossip are almost life to a woman, and she bore the hardness of our life as well. And I had brought her nothing home. Then I remembered the cat. "The only thing that happened to me today," I said, "that has not happened on all fair days, was that when I was passing the graveyard, a cat stuck his head out of the railings." "What? There is nothing strange in that," she took me up. "As I passed it, it called up to me and said, 'Tell Balgary that Balgary is dead.' At that moment, the cat, sitting before the fire, whipped round on me. 'The devil fire you,' said he. 'Why didn't you tell me before? I'll be late for the funeral.' And with that and no more, he leapt over the half door and was gone like the wind. And from that day to this, we have seen no sign of him."